The first touch is sweet and tender. Frank remembers what it was like, just yesterday, to have Grant's lips on his for the first time. Frank clutches at Grant's sides and just clings, because that's really all he can do with Grant's hands on him. Frank's need for them has overwhelmed him. "I've thought about you," Grant tells him, running his hands up and down Frank's arms. "Every day since I left you. Every hour." He lifts Frank's chin with a knuckle. "I needed you here with me, and I had no way to tell you how much, or that it wasn't just professional. It was personal. Maybe it always was."
"You're telling me now," Frank points out breathlessly.
"You came to me," Grant replies, brushing his fingers over Frank's lips. Frank tries to kiss them, but he's moving too fast, hands roaming over Frank's torso like Frank's going to disappear.
"I needed to," Frank replies. "It was easier once I realized that."
"I need you," Grant repeats, eyes gleaming dark and intense.
"Come with me."
He wraps a hand around Frank's wrist and tugs, and they make their way upstairs past the stained glass sunbeams on the steps and into Grant's bright bedroom, curtains pushed back to show the glinting surface of the lock. Frank feels like he always felt under the stage lights, pinned and displayed and energized all at once. And being that much all at once for Grant is shocking. Frank needs him too, so much that he can't breathe. So he just pushes close, runs his hands up Grant's chest, and says,
"Anything."
And Grant grabs his hands, lacing their fingers together, and leans down and kisses him. It's soft and teasing at first because they aren't touching anywhere else. Frank whines and tries to get closer, and Grant kisses him harder. Finally, he directs Frank's arms around his waist and pulls Frank flush against his body. Grant's not a super big guy, but he still makes Frank feel tiny. Tiny and crazy because he's going slow when Frank wants to go fast. He peels Frank out of his clothes, following suit with his own, and urges Frank up onto the bed, pushing him gently back against the bed pillows.
"Stay there,"
he orders softly when Frank tries to move. Frank takes a deep, shuddering breath.
Okay.
Grant reaches down and strokes his cheek, leans down to kiss him again.
"You are so beautiful,"
Grant whispers, then kisses the scorpion on Frank's neck and all the way down his arm, finally kissing each of the letters on Frank's knuckles. Frank tries really hard not to squirm. Grant's going so fucking slow, but it feels amazing. Frank doesn't have it in him to complain. He just grabs Grant's shoulders and holds on as Grant kisses him endlessly, touches him everywhere. But finally he begs,
"Please, please stop, please let me touch you."
And Grant lifts his head up and looks into Frank's eyes. He brings a hand up to Frank's face and strokes over his eyebrow and down his cheek.
"I would like nothing better."
And Frank pushes at Grant's shoulder until he rolls over onto his back and starts touching everywhere he can reach. Frank sweeps his fingertips over Grant's head, along the lines of his cheekbones and his jaw, kisses his face and cheeks and ears, licks the freckles on Grant's neck that always drive him crazy when Grant wears open-necked shirts. He rubs his face all over Grant's chest and belly, finally closing his mouth around the head of Grant's cock. Frank's so turned on, he thinks he might die just from the feel of Grant's body under his, and that's even before Grant hisses out his name and grabs onto Frank's hair. Frank grips the base of Grant's cock with his hand and sinks down further until his lips meet his hand. He keeps sucking, swirling his tongue around Grant's cock, even with Grant panting and swearing above him and his fingers clenching rhythmically in Frank's hair. Frank continues until Grant's hips thrust up into his mouth and Grant tugs gently on his hair.
"Frank, stop. God, Frank,"
Grant orders breathlessly.
"Come here."
Frank slides back up Grant's body, lets Grant tug Frank on top of him, lets him cup Frank's face in his hands and kiss him slow and unceasing, the repetitive push and drag of his tongue slowing things down while winding them up even further. Frank can barely breathe. He scrambles against the sheets to get his knees under him, straddling Grant's hips and bracing his hands on either side of Grant's head. Grant puts his hands on Frank's hips and squeezes, then slides him up his sides and around to his shoulder blades, then pulls him down so their chests are touching. Suddenly, Frank finds himself on his back, with Grant's weight pressing him down into the mattress. When Grant moves his hips and their cocks slide together, Frank moans.
"Frank,"
Grant whispers, eyes dark and intense.
"This is... you're all I've thought about for months. I can't... let me show you."
"Yes," Frank gasps out. Grant moves his hips again, and Frank tries to wrap his legs around Grant's waist. "Please," he begs. Grant leans down to kiss him, quick and dirty, before rolling off Frank and reaching into the drawer of his nightstand. Frank bites his lip and watches as Grant slicks his fingers and wraps one hand around Frank's shaft. Frank moans in surprise, even though he's expecting it, and traces back behind his balls with the other.
"I don't need... please," Frank begs. "I can't wait."
"You can," Grant tells him. "I need this. I need every part of you." Frank whines deep in his throat and tips his head back against the pillow, groaning as Grant stretches him. Grant whispers praise, mouthing at the hot skin of Frank's chest and shoulder and neck. Frank grabs Grant's arm. He holds on with one hand and clutches the sheets with the other. Everything smells like Grant. Every single one of his senses is filled with Grant. Frank gasps when Grant crooks his fingers to stroke his prostate, and when his teeth nip lightly at Frank's nipple, Frank can't take it anymore. "Please, please, please, I need you." He whines when Grant stops touching him, even though he knows it's only temporary. When Grant returns, lining up and pushing in, the whine strangles in his throat. He feels full, hot, surrounded, Grant nudging gently into his body and murmuring into his ear. Grant's eyes are squeezed shut and his voice is rough, murmuring Frank's name.
"You feel perfect," Grant confesses, starting to move.
Frank gasps out Grant's name and wraps his legs around Grant's waist. Grant leans down and kisses his neck and his jaw.
"You feel perfect too,"
Frank whispers. Grant's lips find his and he kisses Frank just like he's fucking Frank, slow and steady and driving him out of his mind with need. Frank reaches out frantically, touching every part of Grant he can reach, needing the contact, needing the skin. He's breathing hard already, panting into Grant's mouth and chanting his name, voice breaking over a curse, over a plea for more. Grant wraps a hand around the back of Frank's neck and around his waist and thrusts faster, less controlled, crushing their mouths together, tongues tangling until Frank arches up and shouts and comes without even a hand on him. Frank hooks his ankles together and pulls Grant in as close as he can get him, running his hands over his head and shoulders. Grant buries his face in Frank's neck, mouthing against the skin there, the periodic word breaking through as a moan or a gasp. Frank's whole body feels amazing, and Grant's body against and inside his feels even more amazing. Grant lifts his head and looks down at Frank's face, into his eyes, thrusts hard one last time, and comes murmuring Frank's name over and over and over. Frank bites his lip and wraps his arms tightly around Grant, not letting him move for a minute, kissing his shoulder and his ear and his mouth in quick succession. Grant kisses back, one arm still firmly wrapped around Frank, the other cupping his face, stroking his cheek with his thumb.
"Grant," Frank whispers.
"I know," Grant whispers back, and leans in to kiss him again as he pulls out. Frank breathes in sharply through his nose, but he doesn't break the kiss. Grant rolls off Frank and onto his back, which Frank objects to, but then Grant tugs him into his arms so he's draped across Grant's chest. He feels Grant's lips in his hair, and his chest is still heaving under Frank's.
"Fuck,"
Frank murmurs.
"Yes,"
Grant agrees, running one hand up and down Frank's arm, tracing his tattoos with his fingertips. Frank nuzzles Grant's chest, dropping kisses here and there.
"Know what's fucking awesome?"
Frank asks between kisses.
"Hmm?"
Grant's got his eyes closed, clearly enjoying what Frank's doing.
"It's only 11,
Frank says. Grant's eyes snap open, and he grins.
"Indeed."
He grins and then rolls them both onto their sides, tangling his legs with Frank and pulling him close.
"Whatever shall we do with this time?"
"I think we can come up with something,"
Frank replies. What they come up with is drifting off to sleep wrapped up in each other for a little while. They get up a little while later and shower. Grant's hands are everywhere, and Frank returns the favor, and they come in each other's hands. They go downstairs for lunch, and Frank starts giggling when he sees the bags of groceries still on the counters, only half unpacked. Grant catches him around the waist and pulls him back against his chest for a moment.
"Sorry, love, there were more important things to be tended than the groceries."
Frank spins and wraps his arms around Grant's neck.
"Yeah, there were,"
he says, and leans up for a kiss. They eat, and then go back upstairs to get good and fucking dirty again. As he's finally drifting off to sleep for real that night, Frank thinks about his room across the hall and how fucking glad he is that he's not in it.
Every night I'm here, I've wished I could sleep with you instead. Grant's arms squeeze around him, and Frank drifts off to sleep.
Frank wakes in Grant's bed, sore and blissful and lazy, until he picks up his beeping phone and sees that the alarm that's sounding is the one telling him Gerard's plane is supposed to be landing. He swears softly. He'd meant to continue that conversation yesterday and had gotten distracted. Really distracted. He's not accusing Grant of doing it deliberately. The look of desire, of love on Grant's face had been unmistakable. He's wanted this at least as long as Frank has. Frank knew it was inevitable when he showed up here. And now they're adding Gerard to the mix, and it's going to be different. He still wishes he knew what Grant was thinking when he made the invitation. Grant wakes up as Frank is staring at his phone, rolls over and kisses Frank's shoulder, then sits up. What's going on, Frank?
Gerard's plane should have just arrived, Frank tells him.
Ah, of course. It's pretty noncommittal, and Frank just gives him a look. Grant reaches out to caress Frank's cheek. Go take your shower, love. I'll fix some coffee and wait for you downstairs. He's still being tender, but Frank can feel a measure of their past formality blooming to fill the spaces between them. When he finally arrives in the kitchen, he knows the cab Grant arranged should be arriving soon. Frank's too jittery to eat breakfast, but Grant brings him a cup of coffee and squeezes his shoulder.
It takes an hour to get here from Glasgow, right? And we have to give him time to get off the plane and get his baggage, so he should be here in, like, half an hour?
Grant smiles at him. Perhaps more, perhaps less.
Yeah, Frank sighs.
They sit quietly drinking coffee. On the surface, Grant appears calm, but Frank can tell by the way he's fiddling with his cup that he's not entirely relaxed. Frank has no real idea what Grant's thinking. All Frank knows is that he is both really happy Gerard is going to be here and also nervous as fuck about it. He tries not to fidget too much. When he hears a car on the drive, he practically leaps out of his chair and bolts out the door. When Gerard gets out of the car, he looks fucking exhausted.
Gee, hi, he says, and pulls Gerard into a tight hug.
Hey, Frankie, Gerard whispers into his neck. Frank pulls back, and there's Grant, giving Gerard his own quick hug.
Thank you for coming, Grant tells him.
The cab driver clears his throat, and they both help get Gerard's luggage into the house and sit him down at the table. Frank makes him a cup of coffee. When Gerard smiles gratefully at him, Frank can't really help but lean down and kiss him. When Frank pulls back, he glances at Grant. He's got an odd look on his face, but when he catches Frank looking, he smiles, and Frank can tell it's genuine. Gerard, though. Gerard looks unsure and nervous, and when he opens his mouth, he starts babbling about the flight and the ride over from Glasgow. Though part of that could just be tiredness. Red-eye flights will do that.
You're right, Frankie, Gerard says with a yawn. It's just like a storybook.
Frank grins.
I feel like I'm going to run into fictional characters every time I walk out the door.
Gerard smiles and yawns again. Gerard, would you like us to show you to your room so you can nap? Grant asks. Gerard makes a face and shakes his head.
No, I should probably stay up and go to bed at a normal time or I'll be all messed up.
We should make breakfast, Frank tells Grant. Are you hungry, G? Can I get you more coffee?
Coffee, please,
Gerard answers, looking a little desperate.
And food might be good.
Frank laughs. Both coming right up.
Both Frank and Grant get up from the table. Frank pours the last of the coffee into Gerard's mug and starts a fresh pot going, and then he and Grant work together to make a simple breakfast of eggs and toast. They eat, and Frank lingers over his food and coffee for as long as possible, but then he gets up and clears the table.
Okay, as much as I would like to stay and hang out, I really have to go make some phone calls soon, he says over his shoulder from the sink. Gee, you should really rest for at least a little bit.
I'd fall asleep and not wake up until dinner time, and then everything would suck. I'll just have more coffee.
Frank turns to see Gerard staring at the coffee maker with a manic look on his face.
Frank laughs. I could wake you up, you know, but if coffee's what you want, you can have it.
He waves a soapy hand, indicating Gerard should get it for himself. I'll just be a zombie today and a normal person tomorrow, Gerard says.
You just want coffee more than you want sleep.
Yup,
Gerard admits, and happily takes a sip from his fresh cup. Frank smiles at him. It's so typically Gerard. Gerard smiles sheepishly and shrugs. Frank dries his hands and pulls gently at Gerard's hips until he can reach to kiss him on the cheek.
Okay, I really have to go make those calls.
Grant grabs his hand as he's walking by and squeezes. Frank squeezes back and keeps going. As he's climbing the stairs, he hears Grant ask, "Can I show you around?" Gerard can hear Frank already cursing quietly at his laptop when Grant leads him upstairs to his office. Gerard is immediately charmed by the room itself. The windows on this side of the house all look out onto the lake. "Chosen for the view?" he teases lightly. Grant smiles. "Bedroom and office, guilty as charged. It's the only real benefit. This place is colder than the grave in the winter. L.A. is a relief in ways, though I do find it difficult to write there." Gerard is mystified. "I thought you wrote every day." "I do," Grant says. "But the main comics writing, it all happens here." He pats his desk companionably. "Now, would you like to see the latest?"
"You're asking?"
Gerard teases. Grant sits him down in the desk chair and calls up a text file, murmuring commentary over Gerard's shoulder as he reads, and Gerard completely loses track of time. For all Frank's worry, Grant must have been working quite hard in the weeks before Frank got there. Thinking about Frank brings Gerard back into the present a little more fully, and he sits back a bit and stretches. He's tired. Grant clearly notices his fidgeting and says, "Would you like the full tour, or should we put it off until you've had a chance to rest?" "A tour, please," Gerard says, and Grant shows him around the house and grounds. It's gorgeous, old and quirky and rambling, crumbling a bit around the edges. It's practically the perfect place for Grant, and Grant confesses that he's trying to fix it up piece by piece, but that he sort of loves it the way it is. They avoid the downstairs sitting room where Frank has set up his workstation, but Grant shows him every other nook and cranny. And as they're wandering back into the entrance hall, Gerard stops to study the stained glass window, and before he knows it, he's telling Grant about his ideas for a new comic. "The first one I'll have written myself," he explains, "and it's sort of involved. I've already pitched it to Dark Horse, but they asked me to get someone else to draw it. I don't blame them. I'm so fucking busy already, and it gives me a chance to work with one of my friends." Grant nods when Gerard tells him who he's chosen. Gabrielle, with and without Fabio, is starting to make himself known. It isn't until he describes the plot and confesses that Grant's run on Doom Patrol was a big influence that Gerard starts to feel embarrassed that he's talking Grant fucking Morrison's ear off about his own comic. But Grant doesn't seem to mind, just keeps asking questions, and the flush of embarrassment is soon forgotten. Everything is forgotten for a while, in fact. Gerard's pretty sure that they both realize at the same moment that they've been talking for ages, that they have, in fact, migrated back to the sitting room on the main level, and there's no sign of Frank. So they go looking for him. They find him outside sitting on a bench overlooking the lock, which clearly means he snuck out when they came back inside. Grant removes his jacket and drapes it over Frank's shoulders. "You'll catch cold again," Grant explains. Frank rolls his eyes. "It's August." But he has a little smile on his face, and he takes the coat anyway because it really is sort of cold. At least, Gerard is cold. He's also so glad to be with Frank that he can barely contain it. He sits down next to Frank on the bench, and Frank leans into his side. Gerard's mind is whirling a bit, ideas for comics and art mixing with thoughts about Grant and about Frank, but he feels somehow, despite everything, that he's in the right place. "Did he tell you he had dreads?" Gerard asks Grant after dinner. "Really alarming dreads." "No, I can't say that I recall hearing this," Grant answers, smiling at how Frank is covering his face in embarrassment.
"I smoked a lot of pot," Frank says through his fingers. "It felt like the thing to do."
"I don't really remember that much from back then, but I remember I hadn't been to a show in months, and I went, and Mikey pointed you out and said that was your new band, and it took me a minute to put you and Frank from Pincy Prep together in my head." Gerard grins at Frank and grabs his wrists, pulling his hands off his face. Frank resists a little bit, but is smiling back, bright and gorgeous.
"I cut them off for our first big meeting with the major label. I'd have done it sooner because they got fucking annoying, but people kept giving me shit for them, so I kept them out of, like, spite."
Frank wrinkles his nose adorably.
"I didn't pick my rebellions very well, did I?"
Grant laughs. "Perhaps not, but I understand the impulse." Frank rubs his neck over his scorpion.
"Until I got this done, it was all small rebellions for me. I didn't want to make my mom cry because I'd already seen enough of that after the divorce."
Grant realizes this isn't something he'd known about Frank. For all the months they've been working together, Grant didn't know this very basic information about Frank's life. Frank continues, though if I'd had, like, a strict curfew and my mom hadn't been as cool about all the bans, maybe things would have been different. I spent a lot of hours doing crazy shit in Jersey after sunset. Dude, did you ever go to Rocky Horror at the theater by the mall? Over by the... Yes! I went a couple of times, Frank says. God, I swear me and Mikey went, like, once a week for an entire summer. We'd sneak a bottle of vodka in and get so fucking drunk. Gerard smiles a little ruefully and rolls his eyes. Frank nods and reaches out to squeeze Gerard's hand. Grant does know this story. Knows about how Gerard's drinking escalated to an unhealthy point, how he started doing cocaine, and then subsequently got clean. But Grant only knows that because he's been in the room when Gerard was telling someone interviewing him or answering a question at one of the several cons they've been at recently. Frank and Gerard continue talking. Frank is practically glowing while talking about New Jersey. Most everything he says is new information to Grant, and most of what Gerard says as well. He finds himself abruptly jealous of them both for their shared reference points, for their apparent familiarity with the details of each other's lives that Grant doesn't have. He listens to them talk, files away each gem of knowledge. He realizes how very correct Gerard was about him. He sees Frank every day. There are many things he should have known about Frank by now. And Gerard, too. They've worked together for 2 years at this point. He should know more about Gerard, and he wants to know. Wants to know both of them beyond his hyper-focus on the present and the books he's writing and getting things done. So he listens carefully. Gerard makes it much later into the evening than Grant expects, but eventually his yawning can no longer be contained. Grant looks at Frank, who's also drooping, and offers to show Gerard to his room. He's not surprised when Frank follows them up the stairs a minute later. Grant is still leaning against Gerard's door, explaining where he keeps extra linens, so he can see Frank stop dead in the middle of the hallway, clearly debating for a moment where to go. He has his own room, of course, but it's all too apparent that he wants to go in Gerard's, and maybe he's remembering how he spent last night in Grant's. Grant remembers his sleepy murmur. Every night I'm here, I've wished I could sleep with you instead. When Frank settles for bidding both of them goodnight and going to sleep in his own room, Grant feels a little pang, but if that's what will work best for Frank, he will let him have whatever he needs. Except he's reading in bed an hour later when he hears the door across the hall creak open and the floorboards squeak as footsteps move away from the rooms. Grant waits something like 10 minutes, and when Frank doesn't come back, he goes looking. He finds Frank downstairs in the parlor, curled into an impossibly tiny ball in the spherical chair Grant has started thinking of as Frank's. "Can't sleep?" Grant asks. Frank shakes his head no. "Any particular reason why?" Frank looks up at Grant. The only light is the dim light reflecting from the front porch. "I don't like sleeping alone when there are two people in the house that I could be with." Grant thought it would be something like that. "Do you really think I'd hold it against you if you decided to go in with Gerard?" Grant asks quietly. "No. No, of course not. I just..." Frank waves his hands around. "I don't want to not be with you." Grant reaches down and runs a hand through Frank's hair. Frank leans into the touch, but Grant reaches out his other hand and pulls Frank up. "Come on, love. Let's find a nice mattress and some warm blankets for you to crawl between." He leads Frank back upstairs, but passes his and Frank's doors and goes down the hall to Gerard's room. "Grant." "Shh," Grant says, and knocks lightly on the door. He waits until he hears a faint, "Come in," from inside before turning the knob. Grant puts his hands on Frank's shoulders and pushes him inside, stepping in just behind him. Gerard's sitting up in bed, but he looks a little disoriented. "What?" Gerard asks, rubbing his eyes. "Frank is having trouble sleeping without us, but doesn't want to choose. All three of us are competent adults. I feel like we can sleep in the same bed for one night without trouble," Grant explains. Gerard blinks a few times, then nods and lies back down, scooting toward the edge. Grant urges Frank to get in bed, too. Frank startles at the hand on his back, but Gerard reaches out for him and immediately wraps an arm around Frank's waist once he crawls onto the mattress. Grant can't help but just look at them for a few moments before getting in on the other side of Frank. They fit together like a matched set, nestled chest to chest, breathing each other's air. Grant forces himself to take a slow breath or two to relax, but Frank himself reaches back and pulls Grant's arm over his chest. Grant peeks over at the other pillow. Gerard has clearly already gone back to sleep. His breathing is deep, and his mouth is hanging open a tiny bit, and Grant thinks he's never looked more beautiful. Frank is also nodding off. Grant's a little surprised. He expected Frank to resist this, to need time to relax in this new and different bed, with two different people holding him. Apparently, he was wrong. Grant reaches over and runs his hand through Frank's hair one last time, before laying his head down as well. Frank wakes up early. Too early. He's pretty sure his body has just completely given up trying to keep track of whether it should be sleeping or not. He's fairly sure it's also given up keeping track of up from down and happy from sad and a lot of things. The first thing he notices is how warm he is. Almost too warm, but also really, really comfortable in the middle of a somewhat ridiculous tangle of limbs. Well, really, really comfortable, apart from his bladder. Which is really not. Frank gently extricates himself from between Grant and Gerard to take care of that. He nearly wakes them up first. The perfectionist part of him that wants to keep everything going smoothly especially wants to wake them up, but he shrugs mentally and just goes to the bathroom and then to the kitchen to see what sort of breakfast he can make for the three of them. He fires up his laptop and checks the calendar for the day. Most of Grant's time is blocked out for writing. Since Gerard is here, Frank doesn't know how things will be changed, but it's good to know there isn't anything more pressing on the schedule for the day. Frank finally gets the coffee going for him and Gerard and the tea for Grant. He figures it won't be long until the other two show their faces, Gerard especially. Frank's pretty sure he's incapable of not following the smell of coffee. He's right. In a few minutes, Gerard shuffles into the kitchen with Grant right behind him. They don't look overly awkward or embarrassed, just sleepy. Gerard kisses Frank first this time, like a reflex from all the mornings they spent together after Comic-Con. He can feel Grant's eyes on them, watching every move. He keeps his attention on Gerard. For the time being. Morning, Frank says, and Gerard nuzzles him, leaning his head against Frank's shoulder for a moment. Sleep okay? Gerard hums and takes the cup Frank hands him. Yeah, did you? Better than expected, Frank answers, and Gerard hums again. He kisses Frank's shoulder and shuffles off to the table. Gerard won't really be up for conversation until he's got at least the rest of that cup of coffee in him, so Frank turns his attention to Grant, only to find that Grant has fixed Frank his own cup of coffee and set it on the counter next to the plate of muffins Frank got out. Thank you, he says, taking a sip. It's perfect, and grabbing the plate to carry to the table. Grant wraps a muffin in a napkin to take upstairs with him. This is normal when he's writing. Frank normally just tries to coax him back down with fresh coffee or tea before lunchtime. Today, Frank can't help studying everything Grant does just a little more closely. He'd been shocked when Grant had followed him downstairs last night, more than shocked when Grant had climbed in bed with Frank and Gerard. Maybe the most shocked of all, that he'd passed out immediately and slept like a rock even after that. Frank snaps back to attention when he hears the refrigerator door open and shut. Grant touches his fingers to Frank's elbow. I'll need your help with the summaries for the solicits later, but take your time, Grant says. His fingers linger on Frank's arm for a moment, then he picks up his breakfast and heads for the door. He stops in the doorway and adds, Gerard, any time you want to sit down and talk about scripts. He smiles, and Gerard smiles back. Since I'm a little less zombified today, I think I can handle that. I'll check in later. Gerard's only been in Scotland for 24 hours or so, some of which he was even awake enough to pay attention to, but the one thing he's been excruciatingly aware of is every interaction between Frank and Grant. There have been few to note. A long look here, the curve of a hand around the back of a neck, a heartfelt smile, a moment standing too close. It's especially frustrating because Grant doesn't act much differently with Gerard. In fact, Gerard has been excruciatingly aware of, well, Grant himself, ever since the night of the Eisners, still thinking about the feel of Grant's hand touching his cheek. Enough of that, and he starts to realize what it must have looked like to Frank. It must have looked like this feels. Grant flirts, lightly. He edges past Gerard in the kitchen and murmurs his apology into Gerard's hair. He came to Gerard's bed last night, for fuck's sake. And yeah, it was with Frank, but at the same time, it was with Frank. And that was unexpected. Gerard urged Frank to come here for very specific reasons, would be perfectly happy with Frank continuing to be the pivot point around which the three of them move. But he's not sure what to do if he admits he wants more intimacy, when Frank seems to be getting less than expected. He knows one thing he can do to reassure himself. Tempt Frank away from work. It's not difficult to do. Gerard asks Frank to take a walk to town with him after lunch, and gets a half hour's worth of kisses on the front porch when they return. He spends hours drawing before dinner, and Frank's there when he shoves the sketches away to pull Gerard close and gently massage his hands. Grant makes his excuses and leaves them alone that evening, and Gerard steering a sleepy Frank into his room instead of Frank's own when they've stayed up far too late to watch horror movies, ends with Frank on his knees in Gerard's gorgeous paneled bedroom the next morning. Gerard can only groan and hold on to the footboard, because it may have only been a week or so since the last time they've done this, but it will never be enough. Frankie, shit, just wait. Gerard feels like he's going to come already, his entire body on a hair trigger, and he wants more of Frank than that. Get back in bed, please. Frank leans back on his heels and looks up at Gerard.
Gee, I want...
Yeah, me too. Just get up, Frank. He knows he sounds pissy because Frank smirks even as he obeys. Gerard shoves at him until he has him where he wants him, stretched out on his side, then climbs up beside him.
How am I supposed to suck you off like this, Gerard?
Gerard just raises an eyebrow at him. Really, Frank? He props himself with an elbow next to Frank's thighs and reaches for Frank's cock with his free hand, and he knows when Frank gets it because all of a sudden Frank's mouth is back on him, and normally Gerard is terrible at 69 because he can't fucking concentrate, but this is Frank. All bets are off with Frank. It's a race to the finish from there, both of them fucking unashamedly needy, every touch of hands or tongues magnified a dozen times. But it's so fucking good, Gerard forgets about everything else. And he continues to forget about everything else for most of the rest of the morning, until he runs into Grant by the tea kettle. Gerard grabs absentmindedly for two mugs from the cupboard and hands one to Grant. He pauses at the last second and switches them out. I hope, on one hand, that this was a gift. On the other hand, I can see you buying this, he comments, handing Grant the mug emblazoned, Evil Genius at Work. Grant smiles. Gift? That one's from Vince. I bought him a beer stein with circus freaks on it that Christmas, I believe. Gerard laughs and looks at his own mug, which says something vaguely disturbing about haggis. And this one? I don't remember, Grant says, but it speaks the truth. Gerard shudders. Never mind, sorry I asked. I'm not a very good half-Scot, I guess. Grant looks him up and down. Which half is it? I can't tell. Gerard groans. Ugh, go away. He shoves at Grant's arm, and Grant laughs and goes back upstairs. Gerard thinks about it a while longer after he leaves, stirring his tea absentmindedly. It's just like yesterday, and presumably the day before, what Gerard remembers of it through the haze of air travel and coffee deprivation. Grant seems happy most of the time, which is better than Gerard maybe expected, but whatever else is going on in this house is not what he expected at all. Maybe it's time to stop avoiding his questions. Frank, Gerard asks that afternoon, when they're curled up on the sofa in Grant's sitting room while Grant is upstairs writing. I know how worried you were before you came up here, and things with you and Grant. He seems fine, but I thought there would be... something more when I got here. Have you not talked?
No, we talked as soon as I arrived. But he hasn't...
Frank pauses, sits down his BlackBerry on top of a stack of papers, picks it back up and runs his thumb along the edge. We've only... That is, there was one time before you got here, but that's it. He would probably deny it, but Gerard thinks Frank sounds unspeakably sad. Gerard frowns. That right there is some sort of bullshit. Gerard knows how Grant feels, and he can't believe for a moment that this is what Grant wants. He can tell from Frank's face that it's not what Frank wants, even if Frank doesn't want to talk about it. Frank doesn't have to talk about it. Gerard's not sure he'd want to know anyway. But he does want to know that they're happy. Okay, Frankie, Gerard answers softly, putting down his sketchpad to squeeze Frank's ankle. Gerard waits until closer to tea time before closing his notebook and going upstairs to knock at Grant's door. The door is actually open. He raps his knuckles lightly against the doorframe, and Grant looks up from his computer questioningly. Is it time for tea? Are you waiting for me? Grant asks, tapping a few keys on his keyboard and spinning around in his chair to face Gerard. No, Gerard says. We're not. Frank's still working. I came to talk to you. He's hesitant now that Grant is in front of him, to actually confront him, because Grant looks tired and a bit irritable already. But he presses on. This... Gerard waves his hands around vaguely, describing an arc that takes in Grant's chair, the general location of the sitting room downstairs where Frank is waiting. "Is not what I expected you to do when I convinced him to come here." Grant frowns. "Well, then what did you expect? Besides, you're here now, and you can't say you're not reaping the benefits." "Oh, right," Gerard drawls, mouth twisting a bit around the words. "Because that's why I came. Please tell me that's not why you asked me here to be some sort of replacement, because I have done that for you once already, and let me tell you something, no matter how happy we are to be together, I hate knowing there's something he wants that I can't give him, and I could have tortured myself with that from home." Gerard sucks in a deep breath. He kind of hadn't intended to say that much, maybe ever. And Grant looks sad, and Gerard frowns helplessly and then adds, "And I want you to be happy too." Gerard. Grant sounds equally helpless. It's a lot of pressure to put on someone. I don't want him to feel like he has to." He stops talking for a moment, rubs the back of his hand over his mouth, then finishes quietly, "Humor me." Gerard nearly laughs, but Grant actually looks serious about this, so he bites the inside of his cheek and takes a breath through his nose. "Does that seem likely to you? For Frank?" Grant's lips twitch. "Perhaps not." He pushes himself to his feet and crosses the room. When he draws near Gerard in the doorway, he pauses. "Stop being so fucking noble," Gerard tells him. Grant studies Gerard's face for a moment. "I asked you to come because it felt right to ask, and it feels right having you here too." Grant touches his fingers to the side of Gerard's mouth. "You can laugh at me, you know. Gods know I deserve it. And you have a nice laugh." He walks out, leaving Gerard to follow. After a moment, he does, but he touches his mouth with his own fingers first. This is going to get interesting. "Well, this weather sucks," Gerard comments from his seat on the sitting room couch. Seat may be a misnomer. He's basically sprawled over the cushions with his head hanging off the edge. He's practically inviting someone to lean over him and pin him to the cushions, though Grant's sure he's not trying to. Grant's signing papers and trying to resist going over there and doing it himself. Grant had taken what Gerard said yesterday afternoon quite seriously. He just needed some time to think about it. In the meantime, he knows Frank and Gerard slept together again last night, and the more affectionate Gerard and Frank are with each other, the more Grant wants to go to them and pull them close. Both of them. Either of them. He's starting to develop a suspicious certainty, a conviction that they wouldn't resist. The idea is so simple that he distrusts it. He's been ignoring it, at least for now. He doesn't know how much longer he'll get away with it. He looks out the window. It's been raining all day, but it's not at all unusual for it to rain all day. Grant hadn't even noticed. "I ordered it specially," he tells Gerard, deadpan, "to protect your delicate skin. Fog is restorative."
"He means he suspects direct sunlight would melt you,"
Frank adds from where he's lying on the floor typing an email. "Fuck you." Gerard doesn't even move. Clearly, he's not too bothered.
"Don't you have some sort of job, lazy?"
Frank sits up to sift through a stack of paper. He pokes Gerard in the side before standing up to trade stacks with Grant. "I have a video call in, 10 minutes. I don't know. In Brazil, it's post-siesta, or whatever." "Would you like to use my office?" Grant asks. "Nah," Gerard says. "Thanks, but I'll just use my laptop. The fucking storm last night? I think I'll just go to bed after." He yawns, and Frank laughs.
"Don't yawn into the webcam, G."
Frank opens his mouth comically wide and looms over Gerard, then kisses him on the cheek instead. Gerard swats him away, but he's smiling as he rolls off the couch. "Have a good night, you two." It's casual, but Grant can't help thinking it's deliberate. "Good night, Gerard." Grant looks up from his pen and smiles. When he looks back over at Frank, Frank is chewing on his lip and looking indecisive. "Yes, Frank?"
"I know I just made you sign a million things, but are you good for..."
"If there is something else you need, Frank, I'm not ready to turn in quite yet." Frank smiles.
"Okay, good. I got back the photos from Alan. I thought maybe you could pick out the ones you like to send to Jonah for your publicity folio, and maybe DC publicity, too."
He sits down on the orange couch and snags his laptop, then pats the seat next to him.
"Come here."
Grant hesitates. "You don't have to stay. I can just make a list."
"Nope. I was at this photo shoot, and you know Alan is crazy in the head. This I gotta see."
Frank grins at him, and Grant rolls his eyes and sits down. Frank opens up the folder of images and keys up a slideshow. They watch the first few photos go by. They're great. Alan, despite being a little batty, is really fucking talented. Grant remembers how Frank had started off that day annoyed and snarked at Grant about having a fuckload of work to do back at the office, but by the end of the day, he admitted sheepishly the next morning, he'd actually been inspired to stop by Best Buy and play with the fancy cameras for a while on the way home. Eventually, he comes to a shot that isn't just Grant mugging for the camera. It's a three-quarter length shot of Grant mid-gesture, gaze arrested in the middle distance, a hungry look on his face. Frank chokes back a noise beside him, and Grant nearly gasps himself. He remembers that photo set. Grant's far from fearful of cameras stealing his soul, but he's still shocked by how revealing the image is. "I was looking at you," Grant admits before he can stop himself. "I know you were," Frank answers automatically, like he remembers too, the visceral imprint of two hot lights and Alan's electronic music at just below audible volume. He sits the laptop down on the side table, and Grant just stares dumbly as Frank shifts to face him and leans in. Grant starts to move, not forward but back, and Frank makes a frustrated noise. "Why do you keep doing this? I thought we were... that we had..." And then he snaps his mouth shut. Grant apologizes automatically. "I'm sorry, I can't..." "Can't what?" Frank snaps. "I don't want to hold back." "Then fucking don't! Oh my god!" Frank growls. He pushes himself up into Grant's space, and Grant catches Frank in his arms and kisses him, because that's what you do when beautiful boys launch themselves at you. Finally, Frank pulls back enough to ask, "Why the fuck were you holding back? Ever since G got here, you have been. Why, Grant?"
"To give you space?"
Grant offers. He's not so sure it was a fantastic idea anymore, either. Frank pauses and looks at him for a moment.
"Space? Are you crazy?"
He laughs.
"I want..."
He starts crawling forward again, right into Grant's lap.
"As little space as possible."
"Noted," Grant says, with a breathless chuckle against Frank's lips. Frank rolls his hips against Grant's, and Grant moans.
"We should move this somewhere more comfortable." "But I've been thinking about you fucking me on this damn orange sofa since the first time I saw it,"
Frank says with a wicked little smile. That smile. Grant's powerless to do anything but roll Frank over and press him back into the arm of the couch and just stare for a while. "I thought about it too. I don't know if I should admit to the length of the list of things I've thought about."
"I don't know why you're still talking,"
Frank teases, and Grant laughs. He finally gets his hands up under Frank's shirt and pushes it up and leans down, kisses his way up Frank's chest, then pulls Frank's shirt up and over his head. He lets his fingers brush the tattoos on Frank's neck and chest, leans down to kiss Frank, then moves his mouth to where his fingers just were, tasting Frank's chest and collarbone and neck. Frank sweeps his hands up and down Grant's back, then tugs Grant's hips against his. He's blatantly hard, but so is Grant, and it's okay. They're okay, better than okay, because they're together. Frank won't hold still, hips wriggling and thrusting even as he leans up to slide his arms around Grant's neck. He tugs at the neck and back of Grant's t-shirt until Grant, laughing, pulls it off the rest of the way.
"Just ask," he says. "You can have anything you want if you ask."
"Anything?" Frank asks. His voice is a little breathy and his eyes are sparkling.
"Within reason," Grant amends. "I don't think I can, say, give Batman pet cats or anything, but anything you want from me."
"I want lots of things from you," Frank replies immediately. He tugs Grant's head down and whispers in his ear,
"I think you should blow me."
Grant moans in response. He leans in to kiss Frank for another moment before sliding off the sofa and onto his knees, finding the button and zipper on Frank's jeans immediately, and Frank wriggles his hips until they're bunched around his thighs. He wraps a hand around Frank's cock and goes down on it immediately. He hasn't done this for a while, but it's not like he hasn't thought about it. He teases at first, gentle strokes and light licks, tracing the veins with his tongue, but quickly speeds up, driven crazy by the timbre of Frank's moans. He wants Frank crazy, wants him writhing and struggling, wants to hold him down, and he does, with a hand tight around Frank's hip. He hopes he leaves marks. Frank seems to be encouraging it, groaning Grant's name and rolling his hips whenever Grant's lips and teeth stray to the clean skin of Frank's thighs. Frank's own fingernails are biting hard into the skin of Grant's shoulders, but he doesn't care. All he can see, hear, taste, feel, smell is Frank. Frank sweating, Frank cursing, Frank coming in his mouth. Grant swallows it down, lets Frank's cock slip out of his mouth, and pulls Frank down into his lap, immediately mouthing at Frank's neck as Frank pants in his ear. When Frank pulls Grant's head around to kiss him, he goes willingly, and Frank mutters Grant's name against his lips and pushes their foreheads together and says,
"Anything?"
"What do you want?" Grant asks again, voice thick and used. He barely recognizes it as his own, but he knows it is, knows this is no fever dream.
"Take me to bed."
Grant is on his feet immediately, reaching for Frank, gathering their fallen clothes and tugging Frank up the stairs. Frank is laughing at him, and Grant has the fleeting thought that they should be quiet, but he can't bring himself to do it. Frank's warm and pliant, and he strips off his pants and underwear and snuggles into Grant's sheets, teasing Grant over his shoulder for being slow. But Grant had started stripping as soon as he shut the door behind them, so he just crawls onto the bed and pounces, kissing up Frank's back to his shoulders and pressing him into the mattress.
"Took you to bed?"
he mutters into Frank's ear, biting at the curve of flesh. "What shall I do next?"
"Anything you want," Frank tells him breathlessly.
Dangerous offer. But what Grant wants is to stretch Frank's gorgeous inked arms out on either side of his body, press him chest first into the sheets, and slither down to lick and suck him into submission. So he does, spreading Frank open and tasting him, touching him until he could tug Frank's hips off the bed and thrust inside, folding down over Frank's back and fucking him until he's clutching at the sheets and moaning Grant's name, until Grant's vision goes blurry and he has to sink to the hilt and just cling and shudder and come.